Dark Wings.
Dork Words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 3, Episode 7.
The Bear and the Maiden Fair. Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Craig McCauley, hi.
Mike Ergert.
Phil Jonak, hi.
That was our third take, just to get that far. What with all the hijinks and hilarity.
We wasted all of them.
You guys are really missing out.
Did you save them for outtakes?
Blooper reel? There's enough bloopers during each of our podcasts that we just leave in.
It's coming out on Brain Dusk.
Brain
Disk at a store near you.
Brain Disk is the alternate competing format to Brain Disk.
Brain Disk is the brainchild of Chuck Davis. Let's kickstart this.
So, I'll let Chuck take it. We start off.
I'm not sure.
Beyond the wall.
This side of the wall. Beyond. It's
this side? Where? But
POV.
The correct side of the wall.
Are we just assuming? Where would we be as the reader located?
The grass is always greener on the other side of the wall.
I would say as a reader, we would be on the other side of the wall, which is the south side, brother.
To the wildlings' point of view, they're beyond the wall.
If we would have had a point of view character in the books from a wildling, would they say beyond the wall as well as dealing beyond the walls? As
there
say?
Is no dark side of the wall, really.
They say
matter of fact, it's all dark.
They say in the Greenlands, don't they?
Is that what they say?
That's what the wildlings call it.
I don't ever think I've heard of that, but I didn't read the books.
Well, it's swooning.
It's like fainting.
Is it anything like spooning?
You see, she asked what's swooning and fainting, and then she mocked it perfectly 2 seconds afterwards.
Well, because he had already said that's when it's when you collapse. Let me see blood.
I'm with Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, overruled.
Despite the facts.
The wildlings continue the march.
On a windmill near you.
How far are we?
Whoa. That was Ygritte you maybe just heard, if the mics are good enough, by accident.
Or-El made a play for Ygritte.
He's a real character now with emotions.
Yeah.
Ugh.
With wants and needs.
And he stymied Jon Snow in a very big way.
He'll treat you right, though.
He had all this time to tell Ygritte what he really thought, presumably.
He waited till it was too late.
He waited till the cameras were turned on.
Now he's in the friend zone. Yeah, I liked his comment to Jon Snow was kind of pithy.
It was. He's not just a pretty face.
With pretty hair.
And a pretty mouth. No, I don't think he said... Did he say that?
No.
I was just thinking my own
thoughts. You're just watching Deliverance.
You got a pretty mouth.
Thanks.
I'll take it.
What?
Your mouth.
I know. That's what I'm saying what to. I think we need to enter the friend zone. just friends.
Oh. Yeah. Can I swap ladders?
It's a ladder.
Is it like entering the Terror Dome?
Pretty much the same.
Okay. It's probably true.
50 minutes of references to other movies and 4 minutes of Game of Thrones.
Of pithy podcast.
We haven't talked this show to death already, have we?
How about this episode?
Wildlings south of the wall. There's more than four of them. Where did those other wildlings come from? I guess, did they sort of scale the wall?
A little bit later, maybe?
A little later, a little further along.
The wildling gestation period isn't very long.
Are they brewing them like Saruman's Uruk-hai? I felt like the Jon Snow and Ygritte chemistry was stronger last week, and this week it seems a little forced.
Well, she's questioning him now. Like, I think Or-El had his words had an impact on her. until she starts making out with him. I mean,
questionable makeout, forced makeout.
I don't know.
It was a desperate makeout.
Yeah, I think she.
He was basically saying, "We're doomed to failure. You're gonna die."
Sometimes when emotions run high, your dick natural gets response.
That is an extremely natural response.
Oh well. Speaking of,
yeah, we did find or learn that lesson a little bit later in the show
with poor Theon's scene.
Oh man.
Oh god.
Poor Theon.
Yeah.
Poor Theon.
Yes.
Poor Theon.
Yes.
He had some torment coming.
Anyone who doesn't have real sympathy for Theon at this point is a bad person.
Is a dick.
Well, he'd
get it, huh?
Yeah.
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 It's hard to celebrate anything related to Theon, especially that. I mean, that's just cruel.
We all know
it was pretty much coming. I mean, we knew.
As soon as Too Hot, I thought he was dreaming when Two Hot Ladies came in and were like, "Oh, here's some water in our tits." I thought, I'm like, yeah, he's going to wake up any second.
Well, I was trying to remember
sound of a trumpet blast.
If Theon had been gilded in the books, and I wanted to think that he hadn't.
It didn't come up, I don't think.
Well, it did when they were on top of him.
No,
I'm sorry.
Did it? You're not sorry. I guess eventually.
Here's my problem with this whole mystery scenario. I think they've gone too long now with nothing but question marks. I mean, is it the third or the fourth episode that we haven't learned jack shit
about who Theon's tormentor is?
His tormentor is, his motivation, the end game, anything.
So compare that to like the reader's point of view, where you went all of the third book without knowing what happened to Theon at all.
I think that's easier. You're not reminded.
Better?
Well, wasn't it easy to forget about Theon while you're reading Storm of Swords?
Yes.
No further questions.
Oh.
Objection.
See, so didn't would we have rather not seen Theon in season 3 of this show than see him tortured every week?
I wouldn't mind seeing what we've seen so far, as long as there was some furthering of. I mean, we get it. The guy is
like 10 minutes of fucking with Theon every week for right, like the last week. 3 weeks.
They're dragging you.
There won't be another one. The next one will at least have to reveal who his tormentor is.
I would have said that last week, that there won't be another one for this week.
I know. I mean, we could be wrong. And they are splitting this book into multiple seasons, so they could be.
You know, to that end, it does right now. It feels like filler, and I don't appreciate that. Expect more.
I agree.
It's
they could have used that. Well, I mean, they could have kept that scene a little shorter, probably. Then,
yeah, I think this is going to be my last podcast with you guys. Thanks. I'm just fed up. No, not really.
With the
this season more than and the first two has me wondering about the sort of adaptation changes that they're making. Kind of like, well, there was an interesting thing, like with the Harry Potter movies. I had seen the movies, you know, like the last couple of Harry Potter books hadn't been published once the movie started rolling out. But there's kind of, you know, there's like character arcs that span all 7 Harry Potter books, and J.K. Rowling was said to have shared, like, revealed the way things are going to turn out for certain characters, or, well, maybe not even that, but at least, like, when they're making choices, like, you have to squeeze these big books down into a 2-hour movie. You have to pick and choose what is important for, you know, future developments or whatever. So J.K. Rowling had to share with the filmmakers, like, and maybe it wasn't, like, real specific, but it's like, oh, you might want to keep this person in the book, you know, if they don't really do anything in this movie, but you might really want to see them and know where they're at this point in the story. That could apply here, right? So maybe some of the weight, all of this torment that they're putting on Theon now is going to pay off dividends in later seasons, because you really, really need to feel sorry for Theon in order for him to
totally redeem himself.
There you go.
Do you think the same about with the Gendry situation? Do you think
that's a mystery? What are they doing with Gendry?
I don't know.
Gendry never was explicitly told that he was the king's bastard?
No, clearly.
And so what? So that's an interesting choice. It's like, wow. I mean, does this mean that Martin has told the showmakers, like, well, this is what I'm going to do with Gendry?
Or
he's going to end up doing this.
Shit, now I wish we hadn't talked about this.
Well,
don't make me think.
But I don't know how much we can spoil it, but I know, like, you know, the end of this book, there's some
something.
I can't say anything at this point.
No. Because,
but I think it's going to be completely different.
And Melisandre was a slave. I don't think we've ever heard anything like that before.
I think so. Like her mother before her, I guess.
But it's weird that she would share all that with Gendry. Well, it's leading us to believe that she's not going to just kill him for his blood,
right,
for a ritual, even though...
Because there's a reason she won't... Like, I mean, Stannis obviously wants to do the deed again with her to make a baby, but her...
I don't get...
Oh, you're too weak.
I don't get
so
that.
Maybe is that why she got a young stud?
No. Well, it's entirely possible, but I don't think so.
I think it's something different, I have a feeling. But she also seems... She's not being condescending. She's not admonishing him. I think she has him slated for a true, noble, religious...
Well, she wants purpose. Him to believe that he's special right before she does something to get blood out of him, to do something with it.
Yeah.
I don't think...
She wants him to give it up willingly, I guess.
Realizes his honored place, maybe.
I guess.
Per this episode, I don't think that she's going to do anything too terrible, or maybe terrible at all.
I think the foreshadowing of the terribleness before kind of ruled that out, anyways.
Yeah, it could be.
That old classic direction / misdirection. That old MacGuffin.
This is great in a way that, I mean, I know I just got done complaining about how they're really stretching out the Theon thing, but there's a couple new set pieces that are completely unique to the series and not the book, and now we have things to talk about that we're not actually saying, oh, well, this happened this time, but we know what's going to happen with this, because we don't know, and it's fun.
Yeah, this was a kind of big positioning episode.
Again.
Really ratcheting it up.
Yeah. I did, before we started recording, I did complain a little bit that we've had some pretty slow-paced episodes here in a row, which last season they really did a good job of kind of mixing it up a bit, you know?
I don't know. I wasn't too bothered by it. I mean, sometimes when someone's just kind of sitting there describing something fantastic and cool happening and you don't get to see it,
then
it's kind of like a low-budget, cheap thing. But then, like Osha's story about her man,
yeah,
having turned into a white, was good. And, I mean, that's a reflection. So she's recounting a tale. But I thought it was interesting, too, like in the shortly before that, maybe the scene immediately preceding it, Ygritte says, "You are mine and I am yours." And that's the way Osha described her relationship with her.
A lot of monogamy.
Wildling man.
Yeah, exactly.
In Westeros this episode.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, he says, "You're all going to die."
Yes.
Or
John says that to Ygritte.
You know, and then she, because he didn't include himself, basically.
You know who said that on my way here while I was driving here? Axl Rose.
Oh.
Yep.
What an asshole.
Was he speaking of a certain...
He welcomed me to...
Certain, well, I wouldn't say a paradise, but a lush a land of
tropical
green.
Tropical climb, and then he dropped the bomb on me. I'm going to die, along with everyone.
That's really taking you up and then setting you up for the fall.
Seems insincere.
Is anyone getting set up for a fall in this episode here? I think...
Oh, Mike wants us to talk about Game of Thrones.
Oh. Smooth segue.
Yeah, see?
Who's going to fall?
Speaking of murder, the weather's going to be killing us.
Phil, what's the weather look like this week?
There's a 90% chance of winter.
based on the last few weeks, it's true.
It's coming. Coming soon.
Oh, you mean in the show.
Chuck's pontificating silently.
Yes. I've never heard of that, but I suppose it could happen.
To himself.
Mental pontification. To our new mental pontiff.
Here, here. Whew. What is Lady Stark's name? Rob's new wife?
Tylisa.
Tylisa. From Volantis. She's with child.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Maybe two childs.
Well,
he's getting greedy.
Yeah. Does he want two childs?
I guess he does.
He got excited.
I think because of his siblings, probably, maybe.
Yeah.
You know? Can't have a real family without brothers and sisters, according to him.
So what do we think about this whole scene?
Lots of butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most unashamed long-term nude scene.
Long lingering butt action on Tylisa.
Yeah. I think they were probably like, listen, you're going to get naked in the scene, and we know there's a certain stigma that's associated with that. So let's just, you might as well just...
We'll just show your butt for 2 minutes.
Like 10 minutes, yeah.
She was pleasant in this scene. She was kind of more... I didn't like the earlier scene with the blackfish.
Before they...
Where she had to have a little banter with him to prove that she wasn't offended at the word shit.
Oh, yeah, that was lame.
That was lame.
What do we think about Catelyn kind of had a little comment on the way out, or she had a look back at least. She's like, ugh.
No, but she knows. I think that's basically, she's worried about what's going to happen when they get to the twins. Like, sure. She made the comment, it's not the wedding that they wanted. But then Rob countered with, this is still a better match than they've ever had in the history of their house.
Yeah, both good points.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, both worth saying before they get there. But there's definite foreshadowing that things aren't going to go well at the twins.
Right.
But, I think it's interesting. So, you know, it's hard to remember that Robb Stark considers himself the king in the North. Because with all the everything else going on in Westeros and beyond, all the people doing grand things, Robb Stark's just kind of mired in...
He's just like...
Defeatism and... Well, not defeatism. He's still an optimist, but...
I think he rules out of sheer responsibility. I think he thinks that this is his job more than any king. Like some of the other kings, like perfect counter... The exact diametric opposite of him was Robert Baratheon, who ruled... I mean...
Yes.
He only enjoyed the privilege of king without really...
Never took no the responsibility for the kingdom.
Yeah, I think Rob...
Rob is his father's son.
Right, and he only feels responsibility.
Which makes him the most appealing and deserving of the position of king.
Yeah. God, she is like a French curve.
Most appealing to readers.
Sorry. There was a French curve on the screen. She's not French.
Do you know that?
Yeah, he's appealing. He's noble in every respect.
But
Chuck, come back.
But the butt.
But do we really think that Rob really knows what he's doing? Kind of seems like...
Rob's making good choices.
Well...
He's won every battle.
Except for her.
He's won every battle, is losing the war, has made some pretty bad strategic decisions, doesn't have the miles, is young.
He's letting his mom kind of run over him, or has, yeah. And then...
Well, he knows, yeah, I mean, he's in dire straits.
I would expect the average northern banner person to probably have some discussions in the trenches about their supposed king and how, I don't know. I would think their morale would be pretty shaken by events.
Yes.
Did he play guitar in Dire Straits? Is that him?
Ladies and gentlemen, the King of the North, Mark Knopfler. Not really.
He's in some trouble, though, I think. And it's going to get pretty interesting in the next three episodes. Is there three left?
We don't know.
I hope it gets pretty interesting. There. We get a little more wildling conversation. We get a little... Well, a little more Giants Bane funniness.
Finally, what would you say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Making up for lost time.
Hmm. Little banging 101.
Oh, yeah.
Fucked the dog and, you know.
I think, was that scene where Tormund was describing how to fuck, I guess, a woman? Was that, I quipped to Phil, Jon Snow scribbles furiously in notebook. I mean, is that what it was for? Were you supposed to think that Jon was like, oh,
this is. He seemed to just be giving him some unsolicited
advice.
Advice.
Hipster Jon Snow.
But he wasn't talking to Jon. Jon was just eavesdropping.
Yeah, he was, wasn't what? He?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I know nothing.
You know nothing, Craig.
God, had I not tuned in yet? Was it too early in the episode? No, I missed a lot of stuff.
This is the most characteristic of the way he's portrayed in the books,
though. Now I have to edit that whole thing out.
Oh.
Say again, who said Tormund?
Are you fucking directing us now?
I am, just this one time, because I sound like an idiot. I can't edit the whole thing out. There's some content in there.
Well, I can't sound like an idiot.
Shh. Who said something about Tormund? Go ahead, Mike. Say.
So, Tormund Giantsbane is pretty funny in this episode.
Yes.
He gets back to how he should be in the books. Right, Craig?
Yeah. Well, now that's not going to make sense because.
Yeah.
Can I just edit two mics out?
Stop making sense by the talking heads.
So, Tormund Giantsbane.
Stop! I'm trying to get back on track here.
It's got to all stay in. Please.
It's clipping.
Shh. Please. That's gold.
Leave it in.
But seriously.
No, don't leave it in. Slip it in. Tormund. After it's wet as a seal, I think.
Now it's staying in. All of it's staying in.
Woo! Where's a baby seal?
Edit out 10 minutes of laughing.
Show of hands. Who thinks that whole thing should stay in? All right, it's unanimous.
Yeah.
Ugh, sorry, first-time listeners.
There's this horrible Sansa and Marjorie conversation.
Hey, by the way,
next. Yeah.
We are down to zero listeners. The last hit count on our last three episodes were 115 hits, 117 hits, 116 hits. All Chinese bots, I'm sure.
No. That means that's a consistent number of hits.
Yep.
Right.
Week after week, that means we have 116 listeners.
Oh, no.
Consistent hits. No. I mean,
we'll never know.
Phil listened to the episode last week, so we have at least.
I'm real.
He's a bot. So the scene with Marjorie and Sansa. Chuck, what do you think?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
No, sir, I don't like it.
The main reason I don't like it is the whole thing of marrying Sansa to Tyrion before the Tyrells can scheme to marry her off to someone from their house.
Loras's brother, right?
Loras's brother in the book.
Depends on who you ask, yeah.
They, like, it was a shotgun wedding. It was a crossbow wedding.
Yeah. Joffrey was involved.
They married them in a rush. Like, so there was no, like, there would have been no opportunity for Sansa to meet with Marjorie and say, I don't want to marry Tyrion. And she, sweetie, it'll be okay. He's not the worst thing in the world.
Has he been nice to you?
She did not have an opportunity to say shit about anything to anyone before she was, like, married.
That was, yeah, and that helped underscore her complete dismay at it, you know? Like, I don't think this furthered the story that she was gave her anything to think about where she might be happy with this situation because she's not supposed to be.
Because she, I mean, in the book, it's just like, well, you gotta fuck Tyrion.
But right I think they must have decided that she had to, they must, I would like to think that they felt like they had to have this scene so that she could express her point of view to some, like, you know, Marjorie's just, you know, there so that we can hear her say that stuff. And that someone else can kind of, I don't know. There's that conversation and then the one with Tyrion and Shay, which was equally blah.
Yeah.
But that's mostly because.
I think Craig is right. Shay this was sucks. The worst episode in three seasons.
Well, you weren't supposed to say that on air. I'm trying to stay positive.
Edit it out.
Nah.
I'm back to hating Shay.
She had
a temporary reprieve, but
she's one dimensional.
Where does she
again?
Get off saying I'm your funny whore? When was she ever funny about anything?
She hasn't even been a whore lately.
She's so imperious. She doesn't.
Yeah.
True. She's not a whore. She's just a girlfriend.
She has it fucking great, and she's nothing but complaining. I mean, she really has it good.
Well, I mean.
She doesn't like? She can't be herself. She can't express herself. She's fiery. Yeah. But at the same time, like, the life she leads, Jesus.
I mean, I guess if they wanted to recraft her character, then they shouldn't have had her be a whore in the first place. God, I say whore a lot on this show. Well, they say whore a lot.
You're
on this
using
show.
The language of the day.
The parlance of the times.
The parlance of the times. You're so much better than words than me.
You're so much better than words than me.
Better than words can ever be.
But
is that a B flat? I don't know.
It was definitely flat. Something flat.
Drop Z.
It wasn't a B sharp. That's what I know.
It wasn't a B sharp.
Simpsons reference.
Baby on board.
Exactly. So, yeah. Can you pause it real quick?
POSIT?
No, I mean the podcast. No, I don't. So, Chuck, yeah. You know how there's everything in Game of Thrones is split into two kinds of dialogue. One-on-one dialogue and everything else.
There's exposition dialogue, kind of. And then there's like... I don't know.
And then it followed up immediately with a pair that never fails to deliver, which is Tyrion and Bronn, which is always solid.
Yeah.
Great. Bronn's character is awesome.
Everyone loves Bronn.
He's probably the singular most...
is this completely unfiltered in his
He's himself. Yeah. And he's got it nailed. I think it's easy.
Yeah.
Makes me think he's probably like that in real life.
So he's not acting?
I don't want to meet him.
Do you want to hire him?
He has a cell sword.
So he tells us.
How much gold do you have?
But yeah, let's continue to complain for another minute about Shay.
Shay.
She's not even acting like she's in love with him now.
She's just petulant. And whiny. I mean,
what does she have to whine about?
What is her whole alternative that she offers him? Let's go across the narrow sea where you have no power and influence or...
But they have each other, Chuck.
Wait, that is pretty loving, to think of it.
I guess so. Yes, all right. That is true. That she's willing to throw it all away just to be with Tyrion
but
without realizing
she is his
how
and
sucky that's going to be.
She is his and he is hers.
If they went anywhere but King's Landing... Yeah, everyone would ridicule him and her, and I guess she doesn't care because maybe she...
No, I mean, they could be happy across the narrow sea.
But it never seems like she's really in that love with him like that.
She was. Remember season 2 where she was just all awesome? The reprieve part.
I don't remember her ever being awesome.
Well, she was better.
But when she was minding her manners and she was keeping an eye on Sansa... without, causing trouble or making any waves, when she knew her place.
Jesus.
I know.
The three listeners that we have every week that I know of are all ladies.
I know.
I was going to say, no wonder no ladies are offering to take you across the narrow sea.
Maybe to drown you.
It's not me, it's her.
It's not me, it's her.
Yeah. Enough about Shay. Let's quit bringing this whole...
So Joffrey and
Don't
Tywin.
Bring my life down with this talk.
Don't bring Mike down.
Bruce.
What about Joffrey? He loves to...
This was fun.
Yeah.
Joffrey squirming in the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
Literally.
Intimidated by...
Gramps.
It was great because, he starts out at the... Tywin starts out at the bottom of the stairs and then... It's like, listen, son, I'm going to walk up and get in your face and tell you how it is.
He almost was impertinent.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was dissuaded from being so.
He stayed on the edge.
It was good to see those two to help
clarify
the power
structure.
The runaway king, the aloof king.
And did we even realize that he was having the meetings before in the... Tower of the Hand and not the small council chamber.
They did make
a mention of it.
Well, Tyrion said, "Oh, I see you've relocated the council chambers."
Yeah.
Then he awkwardly dragged a chair for 30 seconds.
That was his last triumphant moment this season.
Yeah.
Triumphed over the chair.
Like Riker.
Not quite like Riker, but
a couple good internet bits this week. Will Riker can't sit in a chair correctly. You can Google that. And Ryan Gosling won't eat a cereal. That's all we're going to say about that.
You can Google that.
Google that.
You know, on your second tab to just keep our podcast open.
Yeah. Don't do it. Now, don't. And then it cuts off.
Oh, the other key thing from the Tywin Joffrey scene is that, they acknowledge that they know of Daenerys and her dragons.
Yeah.
And don't seem to give no much concern. Heed.
Tywin's a pragmatist.
The last skull was the size of an apple.
The last pragmatist.
Yeah, did they ever mention that bit about the dragon skulls before?
Yeah. That's from the book.
I know that. Sorry.
What was the question?
In the show.
Oh.
I mean, we've seen them just, you know, down in the dungeon when Arya's been down there, right?
Did we see them? Not on the show, we didn't. Did we?
There was mention made of the sizes of the skulls before, I remember. I'm not sure of the context exactly.
Did they successfully convey that the dragons were getting smaller and weaker before they went away?
Yeah, that's okay. What I generally remember.
Speaking of dragons, that was a pretty great scene.
Yeah.
The dragon, that's the best dragon shot we've got in this whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Where he kind of swoops down where the guy's trying to get the gold, and it's almost like it reminds me of the Jurassic Park, the little acid-spitting guy or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean,
fans out.
You know what? We're getting out of here. Hey, servants, go get that gold.
Yeah.
It's my gold now.
Good negotiating.
You realize how much of a negotiator Dany's becoming when she says all that high-powered shit, and then at the end she's like covers the mic and just like, find out what he means by our enemies. I want to know who that is.
How's Jorah supposed to do that? I guess just ask around the camp. Yeah.
He just nods at her.
He just goes into, he's sneaky. Where are they now? Yunkai? He'll just walk into Yunkai and say, hey.
Hey, you know those friends you were talking about?
Can you tell me about them?
Hey, I hear the people of this city have powerful friends. Who? Well, are they alluding to Marine? Which is another city up the coast?
I mean, they only have friends in their geographic area, right?
I would think so.
Well, they're like a slaver city on the coast. That's a port city.
Aren't there three or four or five in a row, I thought?
Slaver's Bay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. What do you think is going to happen in Yunkai, Phil?
They make mention to that they'll overlook what happened in Astapor. So are these communities all intertwined? They're happy people.
I think that, well, sort of the harpy motif of the cities is a visual indicator that they're related somewhat, and also just culturally, what with the slavers.
Yeah, a lot of slaves.
Is the harpy like a Egyptian sphinx that was seen city to city?
It's like a winged human.
Well, no, I know what it is.
Oh.
Why did you ask?
Dr. Jones.
Common Final Fantasy enemy. It'll stone you.
It's probably that.
Turn you to stone. Then you need to use a soft potion.
But, Daenerys, she pulled the old switcheroo with the Unsullied. And she told Jorah, you know, there's 200,000 reasons that we want to take this.
Yeah, she's
city.
Really getting off on this.
Freeing the slaves business.
She's the Marjorie of the Across the Narrow Sea.
Except for real.
Yeah, yeah, actually doing something.
Well, is she overconfident that all she has to do is say, hey, slaves, you're free now. Why don't you kill your masters? And they're just going to do it? I mean, the Unsullied did it because they're like...
trained to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got three dragons and a pretty badass army, I guess, right? But
yes.
But only 8,000. I mean, there's 200,000 slaves. How many slavers are there? What's the ratio? How many would you need to keep everyone in line, you know?
I think it's just the culture keeps them in line. Fear of this battle station will keep them in line. But I love that dragon shot. That thing looks fierce. It looks fierce.
Yeah.
It doesn't look... And it looks like they got their money's worth from that.
I like how she had the little like basket of meat, and she just threw it out, and all three dragons kind of... Right, yeah. The guy was...
Yeah, they got their money's worth. Dragon rental ain't cheap these days.
They would have showed a back shot of his butt after that.
Dragon unit.
Would have been brown.
Yeah, totally would have shit himself because those dragons were, like, on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dragon CG was almost as good as the bear CG was bad.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, wasn't that a real bear? Bart the Bear?
Wasn't that a real main fair?
Okay, let me...
Isn't Bart the Bear dead?
Chuck countered me, and let me concede a point. It may have been a real bear. If it was, then it was a CG Brienne.
No, it was a real...
You mean in some shots?
I mean that there was obviously something artificial about the shot. It was it looked like almost the same matte effect on some old ass effects.
You mean the shot where they were like facing off against one another?
Yeah.
Well, if they I think what's fake is that she wasn't really that close to that bear. They just photoshopped in the bear.
Well, they didn't.
But it was a live action footage of that bear, I think.
Okay.
Because otherwise, because in the book, I think, don't they kill the bear?
I
think Jaime saves Brienne by managing to get the bear dead.
I mean, didn't he yell at her?
Jaime the Bear Slayer?
Mm.
He was like yelling instructions at her, I think, from up top. Like, do this, do that.
He did, didn't he? Did he jump down or did he shoot the bear?
I thought they got a real sword in Brienne's hand at some point too.
That's true. Brienne's or Jaime's?
And I think that that Bolton's men intercede and they kill the bear before the bear can kill him.
Because I know they didn't just like climb up the wall and.
Yeah, it wasn't quite like that. But and so I was just assuming they didn't do violence to the bear just to keep PETA away.
Did they really shoot the bear with a crossbow?
They did show that dead llama or whatever it was earlier. That
the deer?
Was it a deer? It looked like a llama.
It looked like a llama when they're carrying it. Yeah. You're right. That's exactly what I thought.
It was furry, and it had a long neck.
Dragon. They just showed a dragon on the screen.
The guy's eyeshadow started to run.
Dany is cocky.
Yeah, I was.
And she has freckles. She has freckles. It's really cute. Well. I'm going to say what I think.
All right, Chuck.
No. Chuck's very coy about his crush on Danny.
My lust. She's a sweet young thing.
Yeah. I saw a real-life picture of... I can't remember her name. Sansa's character.
Sansa's
the actress that plays Sansa and Natalie Dormer, aka Marjorie Tyrell, on the internet just doing some Game of Thrones research, and they were in like normal clothes and they looked super hot and made up, and I was just like, oh my god, they're beautiful, both of them, and I wonder if those two actresses were, if I just saw them in real life, I would probably want to see them dressed up medievally. If I saw a picture of that, I'd be like, oh my god. But you see what I'm saying about the greener grass? You get it?
No matter what they're wearing, you wish they were wearing the other thing.
Well.
Well, it's on the other side. I can't see it.
Or change into the other thing in front of you.
I mean, when medieval people cosplay, do they put on business suits and club dresses?
Hmm. We haven't seen it yet.
We'll never know.
There's still three episodes left.
They play Wall Street. I might edit all that out.
Might. Edit your confession out.
Well, what do you think of Jamie's bold rescue of Brienne?
Yeah, I guess we have the whole... kind of conversation beforehand that we were there.
All of that. Oh, like, oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, did you maybe get a... He's talking with the maester, and he's like, did you get a... See a raven? He's like, yeah, they offered, you know, 300 gold dragons. And it's like...
But some asshole lied about a mountain of sapphires or something.
Yeah, so. That's true. It kind of puts the onus on him for making that up and making the guy believe it.
He's like... Yeah, I think he truly... I mean, he's developed a bond with Brienne. It's pretty clear from this. And I think at this point she's not going to bring it up or hold him over the coals because it's mutual. They get it. There's respect there. And
I mean, we saw the conversation they had earlier where they were in Brienne's chambers.
Tear-jerking.
Yeah. I mean, there were no tears shed, which was, I mean, he's just, she's just kind of matter of fact, like, you just hold up your end of the bargain and I'll, if I, they yeah. kill me, no. then.
Well, yeah, she was just nobly saying,
I submit to my, whatever my fate is at this point.
Yeah, as long as he holds up his end of the bargain and she trusts him to do so and respects him by calling him Sir Jaime.
Right,
for,
exactly.
Yeah, the first time, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. So there's a weird twist on mutual respect, but it's there.
We didn't see any tears, but when the cameras turned to another scene, they both had the waterworks going, I'm sure.
Did they have to pay $150?
Depends on what they rolled.
Did they also own electric? They wouldn't have had an electric company back then.
They might have cosplayed that they did.
I was saying before we started that I think we hit every single major player somehow in the series except for Stannis and Davos, which most episodes I think we get about 2/3 of the people.
You always miss one or two.
Yeah. I wonder if it didn't... It made me think that the scenes were probably shorter this week, but I didn't notice it if they were. They seemed normal. So,
did we ever figure out what Stannis' daughter's name was?
Oh.
Grayscale.
Old Grayscale. We could be checking in with Davos every week like we are with Theon for his reading lessons.
Yeah. True. It would be the same non-plot advancing fucking drivel. Why not?
Just more character development.
I mean, I'm sure modern viewers identify more with a racy, tortury, now sexy for
bonery.
A minute. Bonery. Boner getting cut off-y, you know. But I mean, you know, that's something that people are going to talk about. Like, if people are talking about this show tomorrow around the water cooler, they're going to be like, oh, God.
Got to give them something to talk about.
Theon getting his boner chopped off. They're not going to be like, oh, Davos getting reading lessons.
Oh, man, he got through one whole paragraph.
I know.
He could sell it. He could make it heartwarming. You know, human interests.
Or orphanage visiting.
What do we think of the Arya? I mean, Arya's... She's pissed off.
I like that scene a lot. I like everything about it. It's a good, concise glimpse of what was a lot more drawn out in the book. I think Arya made several escape attempts as they're just sort of tromping around the Riverlands. And Arya's always aware or trying to get some sense of where they are in relation to Riverrun and grumbling to herself that they seem to be getting further away.
Right.
But the Brotherhood Without Banners aren't in a big hurry to deliver her, and that's why she keeps trying to ride off. They're all riding around on horses everywhere they go.
Right.
And that's why... I think the book sort of depicts it that the Hound had been following them for a while, and so he knew that she would make another escape attempt, and he was ready to nab her. So that's not explained real well here.
You got to think there's something like that he's just not randomly hanging out like,
I think it's implied by his mere presence so close to the camp. I mean,
yeah
he wouldn't just have been released and then been like, well, I think I'll just stick around here.
Yeah, I mean, once he found out, I think that they had, you know, Arya Stark, which is probably a pretty big deal. He can, I mean, further his own interests with he can kind of nab her.
It could be the single most valuable thing that he could steal, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, clearly. I mean, he recognized her. It's not hard to connect the dots. He would want her ransom. Although, there's kind of a neat detail in the book. The Hound escaped King's Landing. Like, he went AWOL, essentially, as a member of the King's Guard after the battle on the Blackwater. And he skipped town with a huge purse of gold dragons that he won in the Hand's tourney. When he He won that tourney that they depicted in season one. And so they just kind of make a bigger deal out of that in the book. That money was taken from him by the Brotherhood Without Banners when they captured him.
Then they give it
back. Right. I mean, he was self-sufficient with his bag of gold. But when they took the gold away, just because he got away from Barracks, the duel, with his life, he's resentful because they took his money away. So he's got nowhere to go, nothing to do without doing what he did in this episode.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess you don't need to know all that, but I thought that was a cool detail.
I mean, you know.
It's not often that they sort of, well, I shouldn't say this, but, never mind. I was going to say, it's not often that you know how much money each of the characters has on them.
Status screen.
It's just like,
yeah. Status ailments.
There's a website where everybody's got
RPG.
You can't, you know, click on them to see what's in their inventory.
Hit I for inventory.
Yeah.
There was a Game of Thrones like RPG deal where they, did it have like an inventory on that? I don't know. It was just like, maybe not.
I don't think so.
It was pretty hilarious, so.
Link me.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
Mm-mm.
I'll link it.
I think we did,
yeah.
But it's been a while.
I've been busy watching Ryan Gosling not eat cereal.
Oh, what kind of cereal was it?
It was weird looking. It's probably from the UK.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat that either. But.
Wow.
That was just a good setup.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm. Well, I guess it sounds like that's what I meant, but that's not what I meant. See, the UK isn't known for their great food. It's just, you know, they got a lot of other things, but the food.
Gordon Ramsay.
Beef Wellingtons. That's all they make over there, right?
Beeves Wellington. The correct plural.
And I was going to say, I mean.
Just one more thing about horrible British food. Have you seen the show Hyperdrive? It's
on
Netflix streaming.
I love it. Phil hated it.
The last one I watched, they were having breakfast, and it was giant baked bean on toast. It was like a baked potato-sized bean on a piece of toast. Yeah, it was gross. You were about to say?
I was going to say, I mean, just before Arya runs off, she kind of has a little convo with Beric where, you know, she's obviously pissed, and, you know, he's like, you know, the Red God told us to do this, so that's what we do. She's like, you're all liars. And then he's like, you know, who's your true God? Death.
She's goth.
Yeah.
Emo Arya.
Well, you know, she's already seen that the Red God has conquered death, so.
True.
Invalid.
I was thinking that. Even though she's grown up fast, she's seen a lot since she left King's Landing, King's Landing. She has basically had no family. She has any adoptive family that she's seen on the road. They've all been taken away from her, every one of them. She has no fucking friends now. Any friend she had was gone in short order. You know, she's still eager to get to River Run. It's like it's the only home she has, the only family she has. And so I think that's part of her freak out. When they're like, we're going to take you home. Well, or to your mom at least. No, we're going to.
One more thing.
We're going to go kill.
One more thing.
We're going to go battle some dudes instead. She's probably like, this sucks. Right?
Right.
Damn right.
Right, right. Right.
Sorry, I was thinking of something else.
I know. You really are lately.
Were you still thinking of Daenerys?
Which is why, I'm sorry to tell you this, we've called you here today because we're going to have to fire you.
Podcast intervention.
I'm speechless.
You've been podcasting too much, Chuck.
Even that doesn't help.
Were you thinking about something Game of Thrones related?
I wish. I was thinking about my cat puking all over the bed. See, it's this little light indicator on my phone was blinking, and it reminded me that I got that text message earlier about my cat puke. Sorry.
Hey.
From your cat. Sorry, bro.
Maybe you should take a week off. In 3 weeks, you'll have
a whole ownerdom.
Half a year off, or a year, or whatever. Just look forward to that.
Cut this out.
Cut it out.
No, he means my haranguing of him.
Lord of Harangue Hall.
Harangue loose.
Let's just say I agree with everything you said.
Thanks.
Arya's cool. You know, I was thinking something Game of Thrones related. Thanks for queuing me up. What I was thinking is, I'm trying to remember how moving this story was the first time I read the books, and how invested I was in these characters. And now it's just been too many years and a couple too many rereads, and it's just a matter of sort of expecting
this to happen, or...
Well, yeah, I mean, I love the story. I want them to do justice to the characters and the portrayals, and they're doing all that. You know, more often than not, they're doing a good job. But, you know, when I watch this show, it's only like the variances, the strange things that, you know, the unexpected things that are sticking out for me, and not the awesome killer storytelling moments that I got when I read the books the first time.
So are you at rapt attention when they have a manufactured character on, or the torturing of Theon, or other things that weren't in the book?
And everything that's not from the book. I mean, I like it when they hit like specific dialogue or specific moments, like when Ygritte sees the windmill and she's blown away by it, and Jon has to describe the fact that that's not a castle, that wait till you see a real castle. That's right out of the book, and it's super cool. So I appreciate when they get those character moments, they shine out. And then, you know, what? Just listen to this podcast to know what I think of all the other stuff that's going on. But anyway, the one thing that I don't get that I kind of wish I would get is, you know, to feel for the characters like I did. I mean, I guess... That happens sometimes.
You want to be me, don't you?
I want
to
be
always wanted to be me.
That's right. I want to watch the show through your eyes.
Oh, well, maybe on a Freaky Friday something will happen.
Does it sadden places. You to know that I don't have any emotions?
You're dead inside? So you and Arya have something in common.
Oh.
No, she's not dead inside.
Yet.
He's more like the Hound, but shorter.
More attractive.
Well, your face isn't burnt yet,
but you could be taller.
Ooh,
it would be better if my face was burnt.
No,
okay.
This is Phil's last podcast.
Chick stick scars.
Blam.
Even Marjorie said that Tyrion was attractive, and the scar made him look.
But she's so.
I mean, lying.
She's yeah. lying.
Her mother taught her.
I
that.
Thought
Freaky Friday. Five other. Place switching movies. Go.
Wait.
I said go.
Freaky Friday 2.
Freaky Friday. The one
the
with,
original Freaky Friday.
The one with Jason one with Bateman. Jamie Lee Curtis. Jason Bateman and
the change up?
The new one. The change up. Face off, does it count?
That counts.
Yeah.
No, it's not, it doesn't.
Well, they don't switch places.
But
two more.
Socially they do.
God damn it.
There's millions.
Do you know two more?
No, I want your help. This is a fun 60-second in podcast game. That's a mini game.
I can't remember the name of those shitty movies.
Shitty Shitty Bang Bang?
Nobody changed places on that.
17 again?
Yes. Zac Efron. Sexy. What?
And then, isn't that the...
All right, time's up.
one with Ben Affleck's wife, Jennifer Garner? 17 again?
Wasn't it... Yeah, maybe. I haven't seen it.
Okay. What were you saying?
We only got four, Craig. Come on.
And then there's one with the Judge Reinhold and the kid...
And Eddie Murphy.
And the kid from The Wizard. Is it...
Fred
Savage.
Yes.
Yes. That's a good one. What's it called? Vice Versa. Yes.
Yes. Mike is the winner.
Now, if I told you...
I'm the wiener.
...that I haven't seen it, would you... be surprised?
You've seen none of those movies?
I don't think I've seen any of them. I've seen Face Off, but didn't make the list in the end.
You don't claim to have seen half the movies you have seen.
Right? Say that again? In the form of a...
Nah.
Do you mean, am I lying saying that I haven't?
No, I
don't think you're lying.
I mean that even many of the movies you have seen, you claim to have forgotten all about them.
No. Well, I don't claim. If I've forgotten about them, I wouldn't claim that. I just would have forgotten.
You would have forgotten.
Altogether. And that's what Phil thinks, that I have seen every movie and remember.
Remember none.
1%.
He was just thinking of something else.
You are the 1%. Have we talked about everything?
We didn't really express Hodor's involvement in this episode.
Another one-liner.
She kind of looks to him for a little. It's like, Hodor.
He said it as it, like clearly that he understood everything that had been said at that point.
That is just for the audience now. They're really in-joking us.
I'm disappointed we're never going to get the visual of Bran riding around on Hodor's back like he's his mount. Well,
weird.
I'm not that disappointed.
Is there a World of Warcraft Hodor mount?
No,
$1,000
Hodor mount. Ultra rare. You have to grind levels for like 6 months,
or just write a blank check to Blizzard.
But yeah, the actor who plays Bran is just way too old to be that feeble. Yeah. Legged young lad, and this Hodor is not quite the strapping man mountain that Hodor is portrayed in the book.
Say man mountain again.
Man mountain.
So they're
Hodor,
the mountain that rides and the mountain that is ridden on.
So they're not going to Castle Black.
Are they going to Castle Black? Did we get that from there?
There's at least a conflict.
Yeah.
We know that much.
That was Osha's plan, which I had forgotten.
She's not backing down.
You don't think they're going to win her over? I think this is the beginning of winning her over.
I'd like to hear your perspective.
That was it.
Who's winning who over?
You know, the people with powers of visions.
Jojen and Mira have convinced Osha that...
And Bran, you know.
That they...
Part of the lot. That they're really onto some real shit here. She's all, you know, what are you guys doing? What are you guys always talking about? And then she has this exposition of magical walkers.
She has a healthy fear of the supernatural beyond the wall. And they want to headlong into it.
She obviously feels pretty protective over Bran, I guess. She's kind of, obviously wary of, she kind of had her Mira conversation last week, and now it's like, what's this Jojen kid doing? Just, why are you guys talking all the time behind my back?
Never talk.
Why am I not in on everything that you tell to someone else? Kind of nosy.
I think she gets the sense that she might lose Bran to these peeps in a bigger cause.
I don't know that she got that attached to Bran, though. I just think, she's got a sense of duty, which is unusual for a wildling.
All these people want to cover up their emotions under the guise of a sense of duty, don't they?
Not Oren. Oren?
Orel.
Orel.
Orel's just trying to...
He'll help you stir if it up suits the, him.
Yeah. He'll kill you if it suits him. That was a great conversation.
That was a really good, no shit, can't dispute conversation.
Let me lay out human nature to you.
Lest we forget.
So I don't know if anything's going to happen here, but Bran's party has been traveling north from Winterfell for some time.
It's quite a trek.
And we've got some wildlings that are
going south.
Well, they're taking like east-west. The scenic route to Castle Black.
I wonder if we'll see a certain,
their scenes are being shot on the same terrain.
Right.
That to me seems like a,
now that they're off the wall,
some foreshadowing as well.
Into the Garden of Eden.
It didn't look quite as idyllic in real life as it did in the matte painting.
I think it still looked pretty good.
Well, they're in Ireland now instead of Iceland.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty good groundskeepers around, it looked like. Keep things
groundskeeper
presentable.
Groundskeeper Willie.
Did you notice the golf course in the background in one of the shots? Not really.
There weren't any dire wolves, or haven't really been for a minute.
Yeah.
In this episode and hearkening.
We missed out on Sam too this week, right?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Sammy.
No Sam.
Do you guys recall where is Ghost when in the books at this time?
I think he's probably still up with Sam at this point. I mean, he can't climb the wall.
But
right?
But he was with...
Worthless.
Ghost was with John when he was in the Wildling camp, when he was in Mance Rayder's
right.
camp. Ghost was with him the whole time. And I think there was even some discussion, like they thought maybe he was a warg.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because he had sort of this, you know, familiar...
But, yeah, I don't see how he could be south of the wall at this point. I mean...
But he definitely didn't have Ghost with him when he scaled the wall. So, do you recall what... did he just say, stay here with Mance Rayder? Or did he just let Ghost roam around?
Ghost stay.
Stay.
Forever.
He just put a piece of meat on the ground in front of him and said stay, and then he went up the wall.
On his nose.
I think he just let Ghost romp around in the haunted woods north of the wall, and maybe he did some like working in his sleep to kind of keep tabs with them or something. I don't know.
In his off time.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But they're definitely taking a different tack here. They're not. I mean, John was taunting Orel for his warging, so it doesn't really seem like he's interested in doing
bird brain. Called him bird brain.
Did he?
Well, kind of. Qyburn and Jamie. Qyburn and Jamie. Is it worth
Qyburn
touching on?
The extra backstory for Qyburn. You know, they're clearly building his character up a little bit to, well, he's tending to Jamie. And didn't they even say he's hoping that things will work out better for him when you get to King's Landing, basically? That your Lord Father will convince the Citadel to give him back his chain?
We kind of get a, you know, he was kind of like a weird, well, I guess forward-thinking kind of maester for his time.
That's what I thought.
I mean, he wasn't like a, you know, like Nazi doing weird stuff too. I mean, he was...
Wasn't he? We don't know. We don't know if he's Mengele or...
Who had the big debate of opening people up and finding out what's inside of them as opposed to going after them with... potions and ointments and prayer and
bloodletting.
Yeah. Was it?
Roose Bolton was into the leeching.
Okay. Well, at one point someone was talking about, you know what? I think I'm thinking of a completely different book. I'm thinking of...
Silence of the Lambs?
I think I'm thinking of Ken Follett and the Pillars of the Earth / World Without End.
The Ethics of Man.
Have you read those?
I have.
Good stuff?
Yeah.
There's like TV miniseries based on those.
I heard that. I didn't know how good it was, and I figured...
Nor do I. I think they were Showtime shows.
Follett is a spy action writer. He just was completely enamored of the period, and especially architecture, and he wrote the books based on his, I guess, research of that. So,
does he accurately bring to life that period of time? Or does it feel...
How would I know? Sorry. I'm sorry, that was rude. it's a good read. It's a read. I liked it. I liked them both. I think I liked the first book quite a bit more. But, I thought he had some pretty heartbreaking, wrote some pretty heartbreaking things until I read these fucking books and found out what heartbreaking was all about.
Fucking A.
Jeez.
And so we leave this episode, hearts broken.
He is yes. fucked.
What do we think we'll see next week? Craig thinks that Theon's going to get just fucked again.
No, well, I don't think that.
I don't think we're going to see Theon at all next week.
I hope not.
I think we need an episode break after that.
You need some time to recover?
I don't know. I think we will.
He's going to need some time to recover. He never will.
I mean, can you just do that and then, like, a whole episode off?
Yeah, that's just the time to do that. No, I mean...
Is it?
I'm not being funny. Like, I think that...
Now you funny, too.
Everybody's funny.
I know that was no.
A George Thorogood reference. God, we should go back and do a list of all our references.
That's for our fans. To write the guide to the podcast.
For our fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next week. We're going to see a weird Gendry situation, I think.
Yeah.
According to the preview scenes, yes.
Oh, Phil should probably leave.
Oh, we didn't get to see all the... We only saw one preview scene, and then Mike's DVR cut off for some reason, so...
Yes.
Let's guess.
We have a build-up. Three episodes left. What action is going to happen here?
We're going to see...
A Siege of Yunkai. Seems like it could fit in the... Something. Nicely into those.
Yeah, definitely more next week, which I thought they were going to get more tonight, actually, than just the... You know, I thought they would kind of do...
Just the gauntlet boom, 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 throwing.
The three guys, you know, come up and...
Get burnt.
Talk.
That's next week, I think, yeah.
Well, we'll see. But,
yeah.
Shay will do something.
Shane will pout.
Tyrion's wedding next week?
Possibly.
I mean, like I said, it has to happen fast. If they drag that out, it's going to be... The thing is, there's so many weddings in the air.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the order of weddings here?
June and Westeros.
We know that Roose Bolton is going to the Twins for Edmure Tully's wedding.
That might...
That could happen. And then Tyrion's wedding. And then, of course, King Joffrey's big wedding.
We'll see one of them next week.
Tyrion's has to happen first, I think, because it there's a political, well,
ramifications.
They're all political, but
I know weddings feel that way sometimes.
So that there will be, if there's three episodes left and three weddings on
there
the horizon.
There will be love, there will be war.
There will be a wedding per episode for the next three episodes.
I think there might be.
There might be.
And a Siege of Yunkai.
I understand we're coming to the end of a season, but don't forget the whole next season is also book three, so maybe not.
Maybe not all the weddings, maybe but not. At least one of them.
All right, let's end this.
Okay, we'll be back next week. Join us again, won't you, in the Throne Zone.